Good morning, I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Blue Angels flying around, Breakfast with the Blues going on, all kinds of things in our area, and, of course, the Blue Angels weekend coming up. Joining us now by phone, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, it's one of those great times to be a Pensacolian, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Excited for this week, and, we're kind of the secondary item this week, of course, everything happening out the beach, but always a great week growing up here and certainly in this job. So excited to be out there this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a wonderful time. We've got a lot of things to talk about. One, I did want to just, I didn't know if you had anything to contribute on the shooting from July 5th, early morning shooting. There was video released yesterday. Some of the, probably say this tomorrow when I'm talking to PPD, but I watch these videos and I'm amazed that the police managed to learn as much as they learned, because I watch them and I'm like, I don't know what just happened, and I watched it five times. But I'm glad we have video. It helps solve these cases and it helps make the prosecutions after we make the arrest. So I appreciate that. Anything to update us on?
No, I mean, other than I just want our citizens to know that you have a relentless department and investigators, and the work continues. Updates night and day. We're not done yet bringing people to justice. I certainly know that. But this isn't a three-day thing and then we're on to something else. We have an awesome police department that's continuing to work around the clock to ensure that we send the message that this doesn't happen here. And when it does, this is going to be brought to justice quickly. So I'm just appreciative of our police department. And I certainly want our citizens to know how hard they're working.
And I assume we're going to get an update this morning at the press conference at 10 a.m. from Chief?
We will. That's okay. Right, at 10 o'clock.
Perfect. Yep. I learned a little bit of that perspective several years ago. I remember talking to Tommy when he was the chief, about Tommy Leiter, about how, unsolved homicides never go away, and they come back to them again and again and again, even decades later, that's just a passion and relentless pursuit of those things. I'm not saying this falls in that category, but when people die through crime, that is something that the police and our sheriffs take extraordinarily seriously and diligently. I wanted to ask you, I don't know if there's an update to be had, but haven't heard much about the project down Community Maritime Park and the Hard Rock Reverb. They had asked for, last I remember, they had asked for an E-date, which almost everybody asks. You had made the case that maybe they shouldn't get one, or persuade me that they deserve one, because, I don't know that we need to give one in this case. Do we know, as any update?
Yeah, I just had a meeting with the entire development team yesterday, and you've got word that the application is for the ARA, which is the request for abatement, is being pulled and projects moving ahead, which is great news for the city in terms of it's a $300+ million project, and with that comes, a lot of times development gets vilified in some circles. It's a extremely risky project when you start taking on something of this size and scale, especially when it's unprecedented in a community, right? It hasn't been proven. You're kind of the first to the post, so to speak. So I'm appreciative of this group's investment. These are people that care about having a good product in our city. But I appreciate them, respecting the idea that this is not the opportune time right now in the season of conversations around property tax. So they understand that as well. And so, I'm excited that the project's moving ahead and that'll help build our tax base, and looking forward to working with them in these next couple of years as we get to see it come to fruition.
Okay, this is the super nerdiest question I may have ever asked you. But as I recall, a portion of this project would involve condos of people living in the facility, and would those then get the homestead exemption? You brought up the issue of, income constrained and what might happen if the amendment passes.
Right.
I wouldn't think that's a substantial chunk of the tax bill that they would owe, but am I right that that'd be at least some portion of it?
Yes, that's right. That's part of the tax bill would be any for sale condos. But what you don't know is how many of those would be second homes versus homesteads, right?
And so
that would be pretty unpredictable. But I will qualify, of course, they will be still applying for the Live Local tax abatement, which, of course, that we're preempted by the state on, and I support. I mean, that's for affordable apartment, affordable
Got
rental.
It.
So that is still part of the project. So as this moves forward, you might hear something about an abatement. It would be around, the Live Local state preemption.
Okay, no, and a good distinction as well. And I know it's probably not the biggest portion of this puzzle, but as you got me thinking about the property tax, I'm like, wait, I know something about that. That's going to affect us. And yeah, as you said,
right.
In an environment where property taxes may be dramatically affected and city and county revenue are going to be dramatically affected, maybe, maybe now is not the time to be begging for a tax abatement for anybody who's doing a development. So what's the next step? Where are we at in the timeline?
Yeah, so I believe what you'll see is right after the baseball season, you'll start to see some things happening over there in terms of temporary parking lots and things like that. You won't see vertical, construction for the buildings or anything yet, but permits are being applied for and issued. The lease reads that construction has to begin 45 days after all of the permits are pulled, but you'll start to see some activity now. So long story short, I think you'll start to see some activity this fall, and then we'll be able to get a more firm timeline when you'll start to actually see some of that vertical construction going up, which will be, of course, at some point in 2027.
Oh, so, I mean, we're at that point where this is a yes, let's go. I mean, we're on the clock.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got ground leases in place. Again, I think financing's in place according to the group, and we're moving ahead.
So, wow! I mean, and anyway, there's no more
for that, and
it's just permitting. There's no more city council approval.
It'll be the largest.
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, but I would say it'll be the largest mixed-use investment in the history of the city that we can find. So, not doesn't count Baptist Hospital, things like that, but in terms of a mixed-use commercial hotel condo development, it would be the largest.
You'll have to forgive my stunned response because I have gotten myself into the Pensacolian habit after 13 years of just thinking that nothing is a done deal until I see it, And so whenever, no matter how good a project sounds, until I see actual construction taking place, it's a maybe. That's just kind of, this had been a maybe for me for so long that I had, it's hard to hear that it's a yes. So I'm excited. That's fantastic. Hang on for just, go ahead. What were you gonna say? Sorry.
No, absolutely. Yeah, we're excited to see it happen, and more to come.
Man, you talked yesterday, not you, but at the CRA meeting on Monday, we got an update on the Baptist demolition. It sounds like, things are really coming along. He didn't quite want to promise the end of the towers by the end of the year, but he said that maybe by December is when we'd start to see the end of everything.
Yeah, that's right. So towers 1, 2, and 3, to the north of the main campus, the main building. That's what's starting to be pulled down now. Just actually met with some surrounding neighbors, and they were very complimentary of, you hear demolition, you wonder if you're going to be, your house is going to be rattling if you're nearby and that type of thing, that it's been, a pleasant surprise, that it's been, obviously you can hear it, but not as bad, so that's a good thing. We don't want to have any negative neighborhood impacts, and they're moving along diligently on those three towers. If you go by there now, you start to see them getting pulled down. Full steam ahead, and I think all of the abatement will be done. I think it's 95% complete on abatement, something like that. So
yeah, by the end of the month,
materials, that need to be out of there, and so they're just kind of on the finishing touches of that.
And we're still the next step after it's been turned into a park. Essentially a green space, the building's gone. The next step of development is in the very earliest phases where I cannot remember what happened at the city council meeting. Did we make a decision to actually move ahead, or are we still waiting? We don't have a contractor, supervisor, overseer yet, right?
Right. I mean, ultimately, after the Bayou District situation, which was certainly disappointing and how that played out and, how many of those, many of the issues that quote-unquote arose were intentionally misleading. To council members, I went to Councilman Wiggins and said, hey, this is what we brought. Certainly want to assist you, and Chris Collins in my office and Larry have been working diligently on coming back with something. Ultimately, what we're coming back with is pretty much the exact same RFP. Unfortunately, with just another 9 months that we didn't get community engagement, but we are where we are, and so. Councilman Wiggins will be bringing that forward at some time soon. It might be the next meeting.
Oh, okay.
But going through the RFP process for community engagement. So, and that was the intentionally caused confusion last time was as if the city was selling the property or this that by just was going to be the developer.
Right.
It's the exact same thing. What we're saying is we're hiring somebody at the city of Pensacola to help us engage the community to ensure that we get into the details of what they want to see on those 38 acres. So it's really kind of round two, so to speak, take two, however you want to say it. And so I'm as urgent of wanting to get that going because, you know, every day that goes by is another day it's going to take us to have a plan for the 38 acres.
Confederate Monument, the cenotaph, the bottom portion is going in or has gone in. I think I saw photos of it actually being put in at the cemetery. Mm-hmm. And then the obelisk / statue, Rob Overton, UWF Historic Trust, says maybe some kind of at a different location, some kind of a historical educational comment, thoughts?
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, certainly, on any topic, any time, I think, you know, the community stepping up to say, hey, city, you know, here's an idea and it's something that we want to do. I would say, you know, politicians are in the problems business and that's what we sign up for. And I like people who come to us that are in the solutions business. And so, St. John's reaching out to us and saying, hey, is this something that you'd be okay with? I think, you know, it's a net good thing and probably as appropriate of a location as you can have versus putting something back in a city park and, you know, and everything that would come with that. And so so I appreciate them taking that on, UWF, having these conversations I think that's the most reasonable outcome.
Yeah, I mean, I like the fact that it'll be somewhere that people can see it, they can learn about it, study it, whatever the case may be. Hey, weird question. You may not know the answer to this, but I always thought that the steps on the east side of Palafox leading from the Baptist, the church up to from the parking lot up to the street with the Confederate States with them in the order of secession. I always thought that was a very interesting piece. Do you know if the state's portion of the steps that had been removed, have those been preserved anywhere? Are those available for display or relocation?
Honestly, I heard you mention that yesterday, I take maybe a lack of self-awareness pride in knowing everything geographically about the city.
Yeah.
And that was the first I'd heard of that, actually.
Oh.
So you trumped me on that one. Of course, that means the answer is I don't know.
Okay.
But we can look into that.
I think Adrian probably would know something like that because she knows everything that any of us
exactly.
don't know. No, but it's – and they may have been destroyed in the removing. I mean, I'm well aware that it's probably hard to remove those without damaging them. But that's – to me, that was also an interesting part of that display, and I would, you know, love to see that being included in whatever UWF Historic Trust winds up doing with the thing in the end.
Yep.
Very quickly – maybe we don't have enough time to do this right now. You know what? I'm going to – better judgment is to know when I don't have time. I wanted to talk to you about Wayside Park. We can talk about it next week, which, by the way, the plan is next week to do a town hall. We're going to do a radio town hall.
Yes, absolutely. I'll be in there hanging out with you next Wednesday.
Outstanding. I think we have yet to decide whether it's going to be 7 to 8 or 7:30 to 8:30, but I guess 7 to 8 we've done in the – anyway, we'll figure it out. But next week you'll have a chance to ask the mayor any questions that you want, like we've done periodically in the past. We always like to end with the lightning round, you know, the frivolous topic kinds of questions. I don't know if you have an answer to this one or not. Are there any celebrity doppelgangers that confuse you? Like you sometimes get this person confused for that person?
Ooh, man, that's a big one. I thought you were going to ask what do I get when people, when I'm out on the street.
Oh,
but,
okay. All right. No, that's a good rephrase. What celebrity doppelganger do you get for you?
I get two overwhelming, which is either, JD Vance, or if it's somebody younger, is like Michael Bublé. I get one of those two.
That's great. All right.
So
well, you know,
there's like a photo of me talking at a thing with like my mouth open. You know, somebody sends it to me, you know, looking like I'm singing or something. You know,
that's funny. But, well, I mean, look on the bright side. I get David Spade, so count your wins. if you are eating a hot dog, what's the most interesting way you've ever had a hot dog? What's the most interesting preparation, wrapper, fixings, whatever the case may be?
I'm just a traditional guy. I can't, you know, I haven't put it in a spinach wrap or anything, if that's what you're saying. You know what I did enjoy for the first time when I went to a Red Sox game, I had the Fenway Frank that's in like the piece of white bread bun.
Okay.
I was inordinately excited for that when I was 20 years old, when I went to my first, Red Sox.
The kind of thing that when you grab it, just squishes up against the hot dog.
Yeah, like the bun is actually made like a piece of white bread. You know, like a folded piece of white bread. Yeah.
Last one. How do you open a straw?
If there's enough paper on the end, I will attempt the traditional rip. But if not, it's a bite.
A bite.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Toothpaste removal. We didn't even have that one yesterday. I like that. Mayor D.C. Reeves, always good to talk to you, sir. We look forward to the city council meeting tomorrow night. We'll look forward to talking to you again next week, especially for that hour-long town hall on the radio that we're going to do. Thank you so much for the time, as always.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks, Andrew.
Oh, by the way, I just want to remind you that the interview with Mayor D.C. Reeves is always brought to you by Lambert Transfer and Storage. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com.